victory in Jesus Christ. Amen. Nothing greater than that. All righty. Let's take our Bible this morning and turn to Isaiah 45 near the middle of your Bible. You open up the middle, you'll be close to the book of Psalms, the book of Isaiah or Jeremiah, but you'll be close to it. So Isaiah 45, one of the major prophets in the Old Testament. And remember, all the doctrine that the Apostle Paul taught in the New Testament came from the Old Testament. Amen. And so the Old Testament truths are also New Testament truths. Amen. And Old Testament concepts are New Testament concepts. And I do a lot of preaching out of the Old Testament because it's the basis and foundation of New Testament belief. The New Testament is concealed in the Old, and the Old Testament is revealed in the New. And that's a great spiritual truth. So if you found Isaiah 45, say amen, and we'll know you're there. All right, verse number 1 says this: Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. That's a great prophecy because Cyrus hasn't even been born. And he's prophesying about the restoration of Israel. Notice what he says: I will give thee the treasure of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have called thee by thy name, and I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Cyrus didn't even, He's being spoken of before he doesn't even exist. And hundreds of years later, Cyrus comes along. Just like God said. Everything God says is going to happen. Amen. It says, I am the Lord, and there is none else, and there is no God beside me. I girdeth thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form light, create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation. Let the righteous spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that strive with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth, what makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith to his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, his maker, ask me of things to come, concerning my sons, concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. Let's skip for time's sake. Look to verse number 20. And it says, assemble yourselves, come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image. Pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye, bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from the ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? There's no God else beside me. A just God and a Savior. There's none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there's none else. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. That unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say in the Lord, have I righteousness and strength? Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. What a great prophecy. And as he gave this prophecy, this even goes in to the second coming of Jesus Christ, where it says in Philippians, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to take our text this morning, though, out of verse number 22. And this is a great text. And this is great information for every man, woman, boy, and girl that has ever been born upon the face of this planet. This is good for the sinner and this is good for the saint. Look what it says. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Everyone needs to be saved. Everyone needs salvation. For I am God, and there is none else. And I'm going to preach on this thought this morning of looking unto God. Looking unto God. You say, Brother Chris, do you look unto God every day? Every day and every night. In every situation. Listen, we need to be looking unto God. And this is good information for every child of God. So let's pray and let's ask for God's help and grace. God, I'm glad as a child of God we have someone to look to. I would hate to be out in the wilderness and be completely abandoned and forgotten without hope. And God, that's how sinners feel in this world, because they're looking in all the wrong places. Instead of looking to the one who made them, God, they look to themselves and their surroundings and their community. Lord, they look to their situations. They look to their sorrows. And God, it's no wonder they're in such bad condition this morning as we speak. But God, we as a child of God have better information. We know that we can look unto you and be saved. And God, I pray that we'd all be looking unto you this morning. And Father, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning as we preach on this thought of looking unto God. As I said, this is a New Testament and an Old Testament concept. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible says this, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us." You say, what do? You got to let go of your sin. Amen. And that where people struggle? Letting go of their sin. And then in verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God." Let go of your sin and look unto God. Amen. People call me all the time and say, what do I need to do? That's exactly what I tell them. Let go of your sin and start looking unto God. That's good for the sinner and that's good for the saint. Amen. You say, do God's people have sin in their lives? Absolutely, God's people have sin in their lives. You say, how do you overcome it? By letting it go and looking unto God. That's why he said, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else. That is good for everyone. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Look in Isaiah 51. You're right there. Isaiah 51 and verse number 1. And I love this verse, but look what it says. "Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock from whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged." Let me tell you, where should we be looking? To our Creator. Amen. Isn't that why Solomon said, "Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, and thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them"? Hey, if we look unto God, it solves a lot of our problems. You know, people are always looking to human reasoning and human ability, and I'll say some more about that, and human invention, but I'll tell you right now, the greatest place to look and the person to look is God Almighty. Amen. I learned a long time, people's problems are too big for the church. They're too big for the preacher. But they're never too big for God. Amen. Hallelujah. He holds the whole world in his hands. He can handle your little problems. Thank God that he can. Look what he goes on to say. "Look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. The Lord shall comfort Zion when he and he will comfort all her waste places. And he will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, all ye people. Give ear unto me, O my nation. For the law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth. My arm shall judge the people. The isle shall wait upon me, and on my arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens." Amen. "Lift up your eyes to the heaven and look unto the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell in there shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever. My righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness. The people in whose heart is my law, Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be afraid of their revilings. What's the admonition here? To look unto God. To look unto God. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. You know, we make our mistake. We got our eyes on ourselves all the time. And our surroundings. When we should be looking unto God. Thank God. I say that's the first mistake that people make. Both sinner and saint. And that is not looking to God. You know, we try and solve our problems and work it out. Can I tell you the best plans of men and mice will always fail? Isn't that a fact? We think we got it worked out. And let me tell you, God's ways are not our ways. There's no way Moses would have chose a rod to deliver the children of Israel. I'd have said, hey, give me an F-16, give me an Abrams tank, you know, give me some weapons, and we'll defeat the Egyptians. And God said, no, I'm going to give you a rod, amen. We make our mistake because we think we can solve a problem through human reasoning. You will never solve your problems through human reasoning. You will never solve your problem through human alliances. People get on the phone, well, I'll call 30 churches and that'll solve my problem. I doubt it. You say, what they should do? They should be calling upon God. And that'll solve the problems. You know, God can cause people to have favor towards you. There's times in my life I'm thinking, ain't no way we're helping this person. And God says, oh, yes, you are. And I said, what now? And the Lord said, you're helping them. I said, okay. And then there's times I go to help people and says, don't touch them, don't touch them. I'm telling you, don't touch them. I said, we can't help them? No, you can't help them. Someone asked me the other day, how do you decide who you help and who you don't help? By God telling me who to help and not help. Hey, what are we supposed to be looking unto? We're looking unto God. And see, our first mistake is not looking unto God. And that's problematic. My experience with people is they want anything but God. They want anything but God. The advice I give to every person I meet, if you could find yourself sitting on the church pew on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday, it'll solve all your problems. But isn't that a hard saying? Who can hear it? And I can hear them saying, but. And I said, that's the problem. He said in verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God as there's none else. That's the first mistake people make. The second thing is misguided confidence in human ability. Well, I'm going to put my confidence in mom and dad. That's great, but that's the wrong place to put your confidence. Well, I'm going to put my confidence in the preacher. That's great, but that's the wrong place to put your confidence. I'm going to put my confidence in the church. That's great, but that's the wrong place to put your confidence. God has the power of life and death. All the resources of heaven are at God's fingertips. People call sometimes and say, I couldn't help you if I wanted to. Because I don't have the resources. You know, wouldn't it be nice to go to the grocery store and buy everybody's groceries one time? I was at the grocery store and this old guy, retired guy, he had $11 and he couldn't find his debit card. I said, I'll take care of that, no big deal, and I took care of it. The guy cashing out next to me said, you know, there's a guy who used to come here all the time, and he would just stand there and pay everybody's groceries. I said, how come that's never happened when I was there? How come that's never happened when I was there? But he said he comes in the food line every now and then, and he'll just stand there and buy everybody's groceries that comes in there. Now, wouldn't that be a fun thing to do sometime? But what's your chance of that ever happening for you? You've got, probably got more chance of getting hit by lightning three times. But see, we our misguided confidence in human ability. Well, I'll work it out. I doubt it. Most of us got so many problems, there's no way you could work it out. I was talking to a guy, he said, well, I'm just in a hole. And I said, the whole problem is you're trying to work it out. When you're in a hole, you got to stop digging. You know, how you're never going to work this out. Only God can solve this problem for you. The third mistake is misplaced loyalty. Misplaced loyalty. Man, we have so much confidence in people sometimes. And it's a misplaced loyalty. Our confidence has got to be in God. I think Paul made it very clear in Hebrews 13 and verse number 5 concerning Jesus Christ and the greatest promises we have as a child of God is in Hebrews 13 and verse number 5, where only God can give this promise. Let your conversation be without covetous and be ye content with such things you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I can't make that promise. And you can't make that promise. But you know, God has the ability to make that promise. Looking unto God is a serious thing. And I got a few simple things. I could have preached on 12 things this morning, but I said, that's a little too many. So we're just going to preach on a few things this morning. You say, what should we look into God for? Well, the first thing is very obvious in our text. We should be looking to God for salvation. Amen. He says, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Now, can I say this morning, and I can say this without reservation, salvation is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. John 14, 6, Jesus made it very clear. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You cannot get to heaven any other way except through Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, church membership and water baptism, hey, and mama being saved and daddy being saved and grandma being saved and your brother being saved and your sister being saved is not good enough. Salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says, neither is there salvation any other, for there's another name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. It's a very simple thing. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. Guy told me the other day, he said, well, you know, I said, are you saved? He said, well, yeah, I'm going to get baptized. I said, you're missing that. What's that tell you right away? They don't even know what salvation is. So I'm a member of the church. You don't even know what salvation is. Well, I'm a good person. How many times you heard that one? I said, you got to be kidding me. You are not a good person. I hate to burst your bubble this morning, but there's not one person in this room that's a good person, including me. We are rotten to the core. There's not a good man upon the earth that doeth good, and there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We think too highly of ourselves. We'll pick out the lowest gutter bum and compare ourselves to them, and yeah, we look good compared to them, but try comparing yourself to Jesus Christ. And you'll see yourself in a new light. Salvation is of the Lord. That's why he said in Romans 10 and in verse number up, what saith it? The word is nigh thee in thine mountain and in thine heart. The word of faith which we preach, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus shalt believe in thine heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth in righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation's of the Lord. These are fundamental verse, simple verses, but yet they're throughout the Bible. In John chapter number 3, he said, "As Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And this is the condemnation, that light has come to the world, that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. You know why people don't come to the light? Because their deeds are evil. You know why they don't want to come to church? Because their deeds are evil. You know why they don't want to hear preaching? Because their deeds are evil. Hey, we should be running to the light of Jesus Christ. But today, even God's people are running away from the light of Jesus Christ. You say, why? Because our deeds are evil. In John 10, he said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." And then it says in verse 8, "All that ever came in my mouth." Matter of fact, verse 7, "Then said Jesus to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, and the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in out and find pasture." Can I tell you right now, if you're trying to get in heaven other than Jesus Christ, you're a thief and a robber is what you are. Salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ. Can I say this morning? Salvation is in the pages of the Bible. Brother Eddie bought them Bible reading schedules in. They're still there. We had some Bible reading schedules in the back. They're there. Hey, you say, "I'm seeking salvation," then you got to spend some time in this book. You got to spend some time in this book. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." You know, I read the Bible because it cleanses my filthy spirit. And it shows me the way of righteousness. And it instructs me in how I'm supposed to be as a child of God. Hebrews 10:7 says, "Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of a book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God." You know, when this Bible doesn't have a prominent place in your life, it reveals that you have a real problem in your life. And usually it's a sin problem that people have. 2 Peter 1, Peter said this in verse number 19. He said, "We also have more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, the day star arise in your hearts." You see, the Bible's a burning and a shining light. And there's a lot of darkness in people's homes, is there not? The filth of the internet, the filth of the TV, the filth of cable. Hey, it is filth, and you know it is, and say amen, amen. You can spend 10 hours watching TV and can't spend 10 minutes reading your Bible. You got some real problem in your heart. He went on to say, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." What's the Bible say in 1 Peter 1:23? "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the Word of God." By the Word of God. By the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. See, what are we looking on God for? Salvation. And it's in the person of Christ. Thank God it's in the page of the Bible. That's why the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You see, the Bible illuminates, it illustrates, and it inspires your soul. You say, "Why am I so down and defeated and deflated and discouraged and everything else?" because this book doesn't have a place in your life. You know when I got a problem? I said, God, I pray and I read my Bible. Praying is me talking to God. Reading my Bible is God talking to me. And God has always shown me what I'm supposed to do. He always speaks to my heart and gives me the guidance that I need. Salvation is the person of Jesus Christ. It's in the pages of the Bible. Can I say this? It's in the preaching in the house of God. How many times have you heard people say, "Don't you preach to me?" Hallelujah. Preach is exactly what we need. Amen. It's exactly what we need. You know what I love about preaching? I don't know what's going on in your life, but I can get up here and preach the word and God can show you exactly what you need. I can't tell you how many times I've got up here and preached and I thought to myself, there's not one person in this building that needs anything I'm saying this morning. And God's saying, oh, yes, there is. There's somebody sitting there. They got their halo on. They're looking pious. They're looking good. But everything you're saying is exactly what they need. Say it again and drive it home. That's what I love about preaching. You know why I'm not a private investigator? You know why I don't get on Facebook and spy on you? You know why I don't follow you around? Because I want the Holy Ghost, that when you're sitting here, to know for certain that it's God that's speaking to you and not me. You know, when you think about preaching and why anyone would sit here and listen to me, I cannot even comprehend that. But you know what God said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1? He said this very clearly in verse number 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross, them that perish, foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. I understand sinners don't understand preaching. But let me tell you, it is a powerful thing in their life. He said, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after in wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I like the song service. I like all those things, but it's the foolishness of preaching is what brings people to the saving knowledge. We all need preaching. I need preaching. You're never going to see me walk out when someone's preaching because I need preaching. Whether I'm preaching or you're preaching or whoever's preaching, we need preaching. Nothing's more important than hearing preaching in your life. And I need to be preached to. And God preaches to me, and the Bible preaches to me, and preachers preach to me. Everyone needs preaching, lost and saved alike. You say, why? It convicts our soul. It convicts us of our sin. Preaching convicts us of our sin. It comforts us in our sorrows. It corrects us of our shortcomings. The Apostle Paul told Timothy very clearly in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, he wanted him to understand, hey, all these things are nice, but the most important thing is preaching. 2 Timothy 4, he said in verse number 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, is appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. What are we doing? We're preaching the word. Hey, preaching can be pretty rough sometimes. Start calling out people's sin and they don't like it. Anyone who calls out my sin, I appreciate it. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know why in the emerging church they don't preach? because they don't want to offend anybody. They don't want to upset anybody. They don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable. I'll tell you right now, preaching is meant for you to feel uncomfortable. When you start squirming and you start feeling nervous and you say, what is that? That is Holy Ghost conviction in your life. For they shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned unto fables. Well, I want me a TV preacher and a radio preacher. Yeah, you don't want conviction. You don't want to know the truth. How many people come to me for the truth, and once I give it to them, they said, that's not the truth. I said, yes, it is. What'd he say? Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. If you're going to find salvation, it's going to be in the person of Jesus Christ, the pages of the Bible, and the preaching in the house of God. You ever wonder why our nation's gone astray? Well, when you have less than 20% of Christians attending church, what do you expect? They're not going to hear the preaching of the word. Hey, it's wrong to be going down the liquor store. Hey, it's wrong to be getting drunk at Christmas and at New Year's. It's wrong to have that bottle of wine in your refrigerator. Hey, it's wrong to have that porn in your house. Hey, it's wrong to watch that filth on the TV. Hey, it's wrong to be cussing at home. Amen. You ought to get rid of some of them things out of your life. Where are you going to hear that anywhere but at church? You ain't going to hear that anywhere. It's wrong to hate your neighbor. It's wrong to fornicate and commit adultery. Hey, it's wrong to engage in sinful practices. But see, where are you looking? Where are you looking? We ought to be looking to God for our salvation, but looking to Him for our strength. Boy, we're living in a time when people's strength is failing, is it not? You know, it takes a lot of, and you wouldn't think it would, but it takes a lot to get up and come to church on Sunday morning. Especially in the day in which we live. And see, reliance upon God is essential to navigate life. And we should be looking to God for our strength and our help and our grace to get through things. Can I tell you right now, the power of the flesh will always fail. You know, we rely on feelings. Feelings. Be honest. How many of you really felt like getting up and coming to church this morning? How many times you felt like really going to work? How many times you feel like helping that homeless person? Or helping that person that's got a problem? I mean, you're in your suit or your fancy clothes and someone's stuck over in the mud. And you don't feel like helping them. I don't rely upon my feelings. I rely upon God. To give me strength to navigate this life. In John 15, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away, and every branch that beareth fruit he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Hey, we're not going to do anything without God's help. He said this, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Can I say that again? Jesus said, for without me ye can do nothing. Peter said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He has to be our rock and our refuge. Our high tower and our help in the time of need. If you're still in Isaiah, look back to Psalm 61 and verse 2. And I love these verses in Psalms. David wrote these Psalms, and he knew something about needing God's strength and help and grace. Psalm 62 and verse number, or 61 and verse number 2, he said this, "Hear my cry, O God, and attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. For thou hast, God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name." Where David said, I'm going to abide in the tabernacle forever. There's some lesson for the Christian there. The church is a place of strength and refuge. And instead of running out, we should be running in. Look in Psalms 18 and verse number 2. Psalm chapter number 18, verse number 2. And again, David wrote these Psalms, Psalms 18 and verse number 2. He says, matter of fact, verse 1, "I will love thee, O Lord." What's he say? My strength. If your strength ain't coming from God, you ain't got no strength. You say, "I'm going to build my body." No, you're not. Hey, physical strength will fail you when you got a serious problem. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to praise, so I shall be saved from my enemies." Look what he says. "The sorrows of death can pass me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell can pass me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears." You say, what are we looking to God for? Strength. Strength to get through the situations of life. Man, there's some real situations in life. In marriage and in child raising, raising children, you talk about situations in life. Serving the Lord, you talk about situations in life. Man, there are some real situations in life that we go through. How do you get through them? How do you get through them when your loved one is dying? How do you get through it? Hey, when your whole life is falling apart. I'll tell you right now, if God ain't helping you, you're in serious trouble. That's why we need the Lord. It's why we need the church. It's why we need each other. 2 Samuel chapter number 22. Notice what it says over there. This is a psalm of David. 2 Samuel chapter 22. And look what he says in verse number 1. "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of the Saul." He said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, the God of my rock in whom I will trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge and my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to praise. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When the waves of death can pass me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell can pass me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called on the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple. My cry did enter into his ears." You know, if you was on your knees talking to God instead of on the phone, you'd be a whole lot better off. Instead of telling everyone all your problems, if you tell Jesus your problems, maybe he could solve them. You know, sometimes God doesn't give me stuff because he knows I would intervene if I did. Hey, if I could solve problems, I would solve them. But sometimes God says, "I don't want you touching these people. So I'm not going to help you to help them." hey, you got to figure it out. And the sooner the child of God figures out that God is the only one helping you, the better off you'll be. Thank God he's our salvation. Thank God he's our strength. Thank God he's our supply. God can take care of us better than we can. Did God feed the women when it was Zarephath from an empty barrel? Yes, he did. What did Elijah say? He says, thus saith the Lord. Hey, we're going to eat of that barrel until the day that God sends rain upon the earth. Now go get me something to eat. God took care of her. Doesn't the Bible say, I've never seen the rice forsaken nor a seed bag and bread? Don't tell me God can't take care of you. If everything's falling apart in your life, God's trying to talk to you. Hey, when things are going wrong in my life, I go to my knees and now, God, are you trying to tell me something? God, are you trying to work in my life? Hey, am I doing something that's displeasing to you? And sometimes God will say, son, you're not doing anything wrong. This is for your good and my honor and glory. Amen. Sometimes God says, yes, you're absolutely doing something wrong. Amen. And I want you to stop doing it. We always think we're right, when 90% of the time we're wrong. Does he feed the sparrows? Yes, he does. And what did he say? He said, are you not much better than many sparrows? Hallelujah. I mean, God takes care of everything in his time and his way. He makes sure that everything in his creation gets along. Amen. And he makes a way when there's no way. And if he does that for the lowest of his creation, hallelujah, he'll do it for you and I. He said this, he said, therefore take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather in their barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? God takes care of everything. I mean, the Bible makes it very clear. I mean, even the lions in the savannah of Africa, when they cry to him in hunger for food, and when you realize how much them lions have to eat to stay alive, and the tigers have to eat, and all those cats have to eat, the Bible says this in Psalms 34 and in verse number 10. He said, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You say, well, my life's fired on two cylinders. Well, maybe you ought to look in the mirror. And then maybe you ought to look up to God and find out why it's firing on two cylinders. Brother Eddie was talking about his car one time that wasn't firing on all the cylinders. And Brother Walt said, well, he went out there and fooled with it. He changed the spark plugs around, and all of a sudden it started firing right. Hey, you got to get your head wired right. Get your heart wired right. Get your home wired right. And man, that thing will fire on all eight cylinders. Paul made it very clear in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his glory and riches in Christ Jesus. If you're having a struggle there, then something's going on in your life. Does God take care of his children? I mean, does God take care of his children? He absolutely takes care of his children. And if you're having a struggle, let me tell you, God's trying to speak to you. The last thing is this, and I know you're saying amen, and so am I. We need to look to God for our sure reward. Can I tell you this morning? I don't think that God has something for me. I know he has something for me. Paul, before he went to the chopping block, he told Timothy with joy in his heart, he said, For I am now ready to be offered, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. The Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but to all that love his appearing. You see, how do you lay up treasure in heaven? Paul told the believers in Colossae, he said, if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. You want to have some treasure in heaven? Think about some eternal things. That's why he said that we should not lay up treasures upon the earth, but to lay up treasures in heaven. Remember when Jesus said, when you've done it the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me? Hey, working for Jesus and doing things in his name, helping others and making a difference, God is pleased with it. He said in Matthew 6, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart be also. Lay up some treasure in heaven. Make a difference in someone's life. You know, I saw this on the news the other night. Man, there's some 900 kids that need foster home in Chattanooga. They need a bed to sleep in. And they need someone to love them. And right now, there's 200 homes. 243, some number like that. And just watching on that on the news, I felt convicted. Now, I've been there, done that, and got the T-shirt. Gabriel, David, and Marcos, man, was a handful for 4 years. The guy on the news said, hey, if you got an empty house with some beds, and you got a heart of compassion, Bill Lee said, we could solve this problem. What was that guy's name on Sanford and Son? What was his wife's name? It's the big one. Lord, it's the big one. Louise, yeah. Lisbeth, that is Lisbeth. Can you imagine if Christian people took these kids into their homes? And they had pictures of some of them kids that had been rescued. And it was so marvelous. Wow. Don't tell me there's not opportunity. Don't tell me there's not need. Don't tell me, because opportunity and need is everywhere. Some of these kids that come on the bus, they need our love so bad it's not even funny. They need our kindness. They need our instruction. They need our discipline. They need the food we give them. They need everything we do for them. I didn't say all, some. That's why we have these children's programs. Because an opportunity for you and me and us to lay up treasure in heaven. I'm not saying it ain't hard when you're wrestling with them in the pew, when things are going on. You know? You're wrestling with them, you're thinking, when is this going to be over? Right? But we're making a difference in their life. Are you looking to God? Are you looking to the world? Are you looking to yourself? Without God, you're going to fail. Without God, we're going to fail. And that's why he said in the text, and he made it abundantly clear, he said, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I am God, and there is none else." If we don't have God in our life, nothing's going to work. And that's where this nation is making its mistake. And it's where our churches have made its mistake. And it's where Christians are making their mistake. I don't want God in my life. And I wonder why everything is falling apart. "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth." Maybe what we need to do is take some time and talk to God and find out what He wants us to do. Let's stand for prayer. Ladies are coming this morning to play on the instruments. Brother Doug's coming. I hope you know the Lord is your personal Savior. I hope you're not playing games. People love to play games with God. But one day the playing's going to be over. And we can fool everyone, but you cannot fool an almighty God. He sees right into your heart and knows what's going on inside of there. You need salvation this morning. You need strength this morning. You need God's supply this morning. You need God's sure reward. There's only one place we're going to get it, and that's from God. "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved." Look unto me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth. Where are you looking this morning? It better be to Almighty God. Let's pray. Father, I pray you bless the word this morning. And I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to every one of our hearts. And God, you know what our need is this morning. And God, you know what is exactly in every soul this morning, in the heart of everyone in this building, and everyone who's listening, God, this morning as the message went out. And God, I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to every heart. And God, that we be looking to you in everything, because without you, we can do nothing. And God, that we would come to that realization that without you, we can do nothing. Without you, we are nothing. God bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.